the Lord, everybody. Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's having a wonderful day. Just glad to have y'all with us tonight. Wonderful week. I just want to welcome everybody that's watching online to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. We get ready for our service. We're going to go ahead and just ask y'all to stand if you can. Those of you at home, if you have a prayer request, please put it in the comments section. We'd be glad to pray with you. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Glory. Yes, ma'am. Yes, we will. Absolutely. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Anyone on the left? Sure, the building doesn't tipsy. I see he's looking around. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Don't want to miss anyone. Yes, Brother Jim. Absolutely. Sure, definitely will. Anyone up on the roster?
Please remember my mom. She had a hard time remembering a lot of things today. She didn't know who Donna was, and it's just getting worse. But just remember us in your prayer. This test. This microphone keeps coming in and out.
Yeah, Brother Jim was just telling me that a good friend of ours, Brother Harold Brown, has been taken to the emergency room. So let's keep him in our prayers tonight.
Have an unspoken prayer request, just show by the raising. Brother Eddie, would you?
Precious Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, and we thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, your amazing grace. Thank you for this day, this time, and opportunity that you've given us to gather together. God, for everyone who's come tonight, Father, I pray your anointing, I pray your spirit, God, would just reach down, Lord, and minister to each and every one of us. Father, we do remember the hands that was raised tonight, the names that were mentioned, every prayer request, every need. God, I pray that you would intercede right now on their behalf. Touch those in the hospitals, those in the nursing home, those who have had accidents. Father, I pray that you would minister healing to them. Now, just lead us and guide us and direct us the way that you'd have us to go. And help us to be in one mind and one accord, God, receptive, submissive, and obedient to your word and to your will. We'll look to you to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Yes, amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. As we were talking about prayer, and I know we're known by other people, and it's their testimony, not mine, but that we are a praying and believing church. I just really believe in the power of God. So, as y'all stand, I haven't had a chance to tell the musicians, but if you would turn to page 276, Prayer Bells in Heaven. I need y'all to help. Not normal when we normally do on a Wednesday night. So let's all ring out to the Lord. Prayer Bells in Heaven. Who else would we go to in this world?
Amen.
All this care and sorrow.
Thank you.
Prayer bells.
King. When you are burdened down with trouble and care, bring on an offer, God will answer your prayer. Into the garden Jesus went to pray, until his sweat became his blood, they say, bringing the prayer bells there in agony, bringing salvation that we might be free. Prayer bells in heaven, oh how sweetly they ring, bearing the message unto Jesus the King. When you are burdened down with trouble and care, bring on an offer, God will answer your prayer. Prayer bells in heaven, oh how sweetly they ring, bearing a message unto Jesus the King. When you are burdened down with trouble and care, bring on an offer, God will answer your prayer.
God. You may be seated if you can. You know, it's, we're doing that song, and I know the author of that song and all the praise and worship in it, but talking about things. It's very hard for me to sing that. It goes fast enough that as you finish each verse, I want to shout for the things that God's done, and then it's time to start the next one. So it's kind of hard to get my amens and thank you, Lord, in between. But it's beautiful if you think about this. When those stocks fell off, or when everything that is, or even Jesus, for what he's done for us, but he chose the cross. He took himself out of the picture, and he thought about you and I. What a wonderful, wonderful thought in that, and how great God is. And as we get ready to celebrate, as we are celebrating, or should be, Jesus and everything that happens, and from not only the baby, but to the King, and know that the Messiah is coming back, that he is God with us. He's everything that we are and everything that we have. So I just want to praise the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I'm just really wanting to spend this holiday season worshiping the Lord and just spreading His word. The service Sunday night, all the messages coming forth from Brother Eddie and the pastors are just coming so strong right now to worship the Lord. Praise God. Well, I'll hush. We got one announcement. You know, I've been this list slowly as this month's going forward. I've got one here that I want to bring forward. It's a very important one. And I want to invite everybody to be here Sunday morning for 11 o'clock service. We're inviting you to Sunday school, but all of you watching online for our Christmas play, the presentation, there's been a lot of work going into it. Just really excited about it. It'll be at 11 a.m. and it'll be over in the Curtis Center. But you're invited to come early to Sunday school, and we'll have anyone that's not in it will be over here, and we'll have a Sunday school classes. And it's just a wonderful time. If you're not part of Sunday school, it's a perfect time to come. In preparations to go over there and watch the play. Why? Because they're going to be going through it, the play, and giving them a chance to get everything worked out, the final sound checks and all that they'll be doing. They don't need us going over there pre-play time. So if you would, come on into Sunday school, even if you're running a little late. We'd love to have you with us, give you a chance. And if you're bringing grandparents or parents or your neighbors, let's just make plans. Just come on into a class. You won't interrupt us. Our class, personally, we're going to be talking about the birth of Jesus. We're doing this, putting this weekend for that reason. So you're more than welcome to come on in. So praise God. Love each and every one of you. We're going to go ahead and take up our offering. Just thank the Lord for everything He does. Thank you, brother. I'm going to ask Brother Jim, just ask the Lord to bless our offering this evening. Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, yesterday I was studying a little bit in our Bible study, and you know, it was talking about hope, believing, so forth. And at one point, as I was looking at that and the story that it was telling, I could literally feel myself crawling up in the arms of Jesus. I could feel it around me, just like a little tiny kid when we hold him. I could feel myself, the Lord's arms around me. And I praise God for that. And I want to, you know, I'm going to sing Old Faithful. But I'm so glad he loves me. You know, Sister Tabitha, I mess up a lot. I'm not perfect by no means. I mess up. But you know what? God's always there to pick me up. He still talks to me, and he still tells me he loves me. And I'm so thankful for the precious blood. Because I don't know, if you don't know anything about the blood, and all of y'all I do believe knows that, it's the blood that washes us clean. And I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've ever really stopped and thought about it, I know we've seen the Passion of the Christ. We seen that, but we still have no idea what he actually went through for us when we were sinners. Before we was ever conceived, he died, dying knowing what we were going to be like. But he still died and shed his blood for us. And I love the Lord.
I searched and I searched for the road that leads to glory. I wondered if I'd ever find the way. I sat down to rest, for my feet had grown so weary. But then I heard a voice within me say, you've got to keep walking, just keep walking, walking in the light of the Lord. You'll get to someday, better get in the right way, walking in the light of the Lord. I prayed and I prayed for the Lord to give me mercy. I prayed for Him to brighten up the day. I was so afraid, for the road now seemed so lonely. But then I heard a voice within me say, you've got to keep walking. Walking in the light of the Lord, you'll get to heaven someday. Better get in the right way, walking in the light of the Lord. I prayed and I prayed for the Lord to give me mercy. I prayed for Him to brighten up the day. I was so afraid, for the road now seemed so lonely. Then I heard a voice within me say, you've got to keep walking, just keep walking, walking in the light of the Lord. You'll get to heaven someday, but get in the right way, walking in the light of the Lord.
The stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. And He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. Can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name.
A stable for a place to lay your head. And on a dark winter's evening, with a star to mark your presence, there came wise men to worship, and they were kneeling by your bed. To worship and adore you more than any earthly thing. We offer up a sacrifice of praise for you today.
God, that we don't have to have a degree. We don't have to have the approval of anyone. Amen. And we have a direct line. How many is thankful for a direct line? Do not have to mash hold. You don't have to get a recording. You can call straight to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am. What a blessing, what a privilege it is to be able to pray and communicate with our Lord. And you know, if we said so many times, praying sometimes is listening. You know, We got the praying part down. We got the petitions and the requests. But sometimes it's good just to go into intercession with the Lord and just listen to the word of the Lord. And you say, Brother Eddie, what? He'll speak to you. I will assure you, whether it be impressed in your mind or in your heart, or he may just lay a scripture on your heart or something, but God still speaks to his people today. And aren't you glad that he does? Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of 1 Corinthians tonight in the 15th chapter. I was thinking about the songs, and the songs were wonderful tonight, the music, and just a sweet, sweet spirits in this place. And I think Sister Brenda was talking about, just felt the arms of Jesus wrapping around it. And I was thinking, you know, sometimes we can see this power of God in the smallest things in this world. It's one thing to look at the gigantic mountains, the ocean, and the clouds, and all of that, and know that God spoke all of that into creation. And that's wonderful, and it's marvelous, and it's beautiful. I love the people that post those different views of the mountains and the streams on Facebook. And the snow, I love snowy pictures. So if anybody's got any snowy pictures, put them on there. I love seeing that. But sometimes we fail to see God in the smallest of things. And I was thinking about what she was talking about as the Lord wrapped his arms around her spiritually. You know, the Bible tells us that he's aware of every sparrow that falls from the sky. Have you ever seen how many sparrows there are that fly around and flutter around? I mean, little bitty birds that we think are insignificant, thinks that, you know, my goodness, we got too many of these little birds around. But if one falls, God knows about it. And how much more does he know about us? Amen. I know we flutter around a lot. And we're here and there and everywhere, but God sees us everywhere we go. And aren't you glad, as we used to sing, he's got the whole world in his hands. That's you and me, brother, and you and me, sister. Amen. That don't cost you anything. I'm just telling you what I was thinking about the Lord. In the book of 1 Corinthians tonight, into the 15th chapter, thank you for standing. Verses 1 through number 10. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Everybody say the gospel. Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, everybody say last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, everybody say that with me, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Can we pray or with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, again for the opportunity to come into your house to worship. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we have already received tonight, for the beautiful songs, for the meanings behind the songs, and God, for the prayers of all those who are listening, those who are here tonight. And Father, I pray right now, God, that you would just use this vessel, anoint these lips of clay. God, speak to us, Lord, that you would have us to hear. Help us to be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. Father, reach out and touch those who are in need of prayer tonight. And by faith, we release those prayer requests unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. If you love the Lord, let him know it. Amen. Give him some love. You may be seated. I am what I am. I am what I am. What you see is what you get. Amen. You know, it's amazing to me that people, over a period of time, sometimes try to be somebody that they're not. Try to, what does he call it, put on airs? Try to adopt a different personality. You know, when you do that, it kind of comes through who you really are if you're around a person long enough. Uncle Max had a great, great saying. He was talking about a friend of ours, and this blessed friend was a preacher and a wonderful guy, but he was a jokester. And Uncle Max said, you know what? said you love this fellow. He said, but sooner or later, if you're around him long enough, he'll talk you out of it. And that was very profound. And, of course, Brother Mac still loved him, but, after a while, he said, he gets on your nerves. So your real personality is going to show through. First of all, I thank God for apostles, for the disciples, for the ministers and the generations prior to us who preached the plan of salvation. How many is thankful that you've heard the plan of salvation more than once, more than twice, probably 50, 100? It never gets old. And the reason it never gets old is because it's true. It was true yesterday, it's true today, and it'll still be true tomorrow. And aren't you thankful that God doesn't automatically change his plan or update his plan, said this one needs to be done away with, let's create a brand new opportunity or a brand new plan. It's the same as it was. So the Apostle Paul is preaching here to the church at Corinth, and it seems to me that in Bible history, if we're reading reference here, there was some turmoil, I believe was the word that one scholar used, in the church. And there was some things that were kind of argumentative, and there was some dissension. And you got to understand that the Apostle Paul wasn't a pastor of a particular church. He was constantly on the move, as so many of the other apostles were. Sometimes the only message they got was an epistle or a letter from the bishop or the minister or whoever it was sent them a letter. And maybe it was months until he actually got by there. But he was able to send this letter, and he was addressing the character and the behavior of the church and how that saints ought to be. And then he reminded them of salvation and reminded them of his personal testimony. I've often said this, and I still adhere to it today. Nobody can tell your testimony like you can. Many times we are caught giving a testimony on behalf of another person, and that's well and that's good if they may not be there. But they can't nobody tell anybody else's story of your salvation any better than you can, because it happened to you personally. You know where you were. You know the life was I was. And you know what Jesus Christ did for you. So the Apostle Paul begins by telling them his experience with salvation. And first of all, he tells them that I'm here just to preach the gospel. He's thankful for the gospel. Man, and that's what the churches need to hear today. And I know it's presented in a number of different ways, but they still need the plan of salvation, and they need the gospel preached. And he also said, you know what? I'm preaching not only what I have heard, but I am preaching what I have received. How many knows that firsthand information is the best? Not what he said, she said, or they said, but if you've experienced something within yourself, then you better can relate that to someone else. And then his message was basically this, and I'm summarizing here. It said, Christ died for us. Can I get an amen? He died for our sins. Aren't you thankful? And he was buried. The Bible tells us that. You see, I like what Paul said. On two different occasions, he says, according to the scriptures. Now, Paul said, I'm not here to change the scripture. I'm here to relate to you and minister to you and maybe explain to you what the Bible says about the plan of salvation and about the mission of Jesus Christ. So according to the scriptures, and how many knows the scriptures is the word of God, that's which we base our salvation on. And our actions as children of God and as Christians, and how that we should act according to what the word says. And then it says, he was buried, but he rose again the third day. Now, all of that is in the scriptures. That is not fable. That is not a hearsay that's been passed down from generation to generation. That is according to the gospel. And you know what happens? Is so many people take the firm words, statutes, and precepts and plan of salvation, and they doctor it up one way or the other. They try to make it more appealing. Listen, you can't make it any more appealing than Christ has made it appealing. They try to water it down so that it's not so stringent or not so strict on people. You can't do that. You have to accept it as it is according to the scriptures. So Paul was preaching unto them what the scripture said and what the apostles preached. And he said according to the scriptures. And then he was seen and he said, you know, I'm not just telling you what I've heard. Jesus was actually seen. Now, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. And isn't that a beautiful season? Isn't it a wonderful season? How many is like me, you start feeling that emotional satisfaction and gratification around the season of Christmas. There's something that, you know, if we were able to bottle it and put it on the shelf and sell it, you could probably get a pretty good price for it, because things, people get a little bit more friendly, a little bit more joyful around the season. I know everybody does it, but in general, most people do. And I kind of, you know, the closer Christmas gets, the more I get, I'm still a kid, I still get that little tingle with excitement. And you know what? I hadn't had anything under the tree in several years. But I'm excited about what the children are getting, the grandkids and things like that. And it's wonderful. And I get that sense of excitement. And I'm thankful for that, that I feel, and I appreciate that. But I want you to understand that that baby grew up. And that baby became a man. And that baby, as Brother Jason was talking about the other night, is the great I Am. Amen. Jesus Christ. Mary's, did you know? Yeah, she's realizing, or realized later on, that his mission was to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary. And although he was a precious child and grew up in the fear and admonition of God and Holy Scriptures, I believe he was very, very much in tune with the Scriptures. He still knew his mission. So if we just celebrate the birth alone, we're missing out on the very most important point. He was born, but he was born to die. He came to earth, but he came to earth for us. And he took on the robe of flesh, not because he wanted to be seen or not because he wanted to be acknowledged, but he took on the robe of flesh so that he could die, so that there could be blood. As you mentioned, there had to be blood atonement. So this was what the Apostle Paul was preaching and declaring. And again, you know, I'm pretty sure there were some in the church that we've heard this before. But you know what? You can't hear it too much over and over and over again. And he says, not only was he born, not only did he grow up and begin to minister and was responsible for so much of the New Testament in his actions and even in his words, but he died on the cross of Calvary, not because he was guilty, but because we were guilty, not because of his sin, but because of our sinful nature. And then the Apostle Paul says, he was seen on several occasions, basically. And he goes on to describe, he was seen of the 12. Now, if Bible scripture, if we believe Bible scripture, we know that one kind of fell from grace, didn't he? Of the 12 disciples, Judas. But how many knows they elected another one? So there were actually 12 when Jesus came back and showed himself. He showed himself on the road to Emmaus, I believe it was, and Cephas saw him and some of the others. But he also let all of his 12 disciples see him again to let them know, at, you know, all that I was trying to tell you about the tearing down of the temple and the raising back up of the temple in 3 days. It had nothing to do with the brick and the mortar. It had everything to do with my mission on this earth. And now I'm here as a living, breathing testimony that could not stay in the grave. I came out victorious over the grave. Amen. And I'm alive and well, and I'm going to ascend to the Father, but I am coming back again one day. So the 12 disciples saw him, and then the Apostle Paul said, let me remind you that above 500 of the brethren were actually able to see Jesus. Now, Jesus wasn't just back to show them, look what I've done. But he was back to give them a testimony that you have witnessed the resurrection. You can declare, you can preach the gospel of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can go. That song that says, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. But also go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ has erected or resurrected from the dead. He was seen of the apostles. And then he says, and finally, and this is where I want to get to tonight. Finally, I saw him. You know, I was raised in church, but finally I saw him. My mom and dad were filled with the Spirit of the Lord, but finally I saw him. My granddaddy was a pastor for several years, and I sat under his tutelage, and I sat under his pastorship, but finally I saw him. You see, finally I got a testimony. It was something to hear and sit in church, and many of you were raised in church, and you probably remember sitting in testimony service, and some of the precious saints of God stand up and praise the Lord. The night I got saved, the night I got Jesus Christ to come into my life, and how wonderful it was. But you know what? We could not be saved by their testimony. We had to see it ourselves. The Apostle Paul said, finally I witnessed And finally, I saw him, not only spiritually, but he saw him physically too. Now, Paul could declare, Paul could preach, he was buried, but he did rise the third day, and he is alive and well. Paul then gives one of the most repentive testimonies I have ever heard. You know, we often say that David probably wrote the most about a repentive spirit. How many knows, even if you are saved, even if you are walking a Christian life, sometimes we still need to repent. Amen. We're flesh, and flesh is subject to failure. Our flesh is weak in many, many areas. I'm very, very weak, and Paul addresses that. He said, I am the least of the apostles. In one place, he said, I was the chiefest among sinners. Imagine this, and think about this. All the messages that Paul preached, all the churches that he organized, all the letters that he wrote, all the miracles that were wrought, all the people that were converted and born again under his ministry, he still never forgot that he persecuted the church and was even instrumental in some being beaten and even causing death of others. That's something to live with within our conscience. Paul never forgot that. I believe he realized that until the day he died. But he found out. He said, finally I saw Jesus. And I realized that Jesus not only died for the 12, not only died for the 500 brethren, not only died for his immediate family, but I saw in my spirit that Jesus died for me. And I am what I am. None of us can change the fact that we are what we are. We're going to remember things. We're going to carry burdens around many, many years of things we've done before Jesus Christ came into our life. That's normal. That's natural. Don't beat yourself up about it. The Apostle Paul had the same situation that you and I have. But here's what he said. He said, but by the grace of God. But by the grace of God, I would be accountable for my life prior to Jesus Christ saving me. But by the grace of God, if it hadn't been for the grace of God, I couldn't stand behind a pulpit and declare to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. If it hadn't been for the grace of God, I really wouldn't know how to sing a gospel song. I might mouth the words, but I love it when people sing and they feel what they are singing about, and they sing it as though it's a personal testimony of what Jesus Christ did for them. I love the songs about blood. I love the songs about being redeemed. I love the songs about saying, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Because that's a personal testimony. I am what I am. I'm flesh and bone, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer lost. I'm no longer on my way to hell because of the blood of Jesus Christ and because of his amazing grace. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. God forbid that a person not take example, or not take opportunity to receive the forgiveness and the baptism of the Spirit of the Lord into their life. Because then in their personal situation, if they don't accept it, then the grace of God was in vain to that person. Not his grace was vanity, or not because it wasn't powerful enough, because they did not receive it. And unfortunately, being a realist, we understand and know that there may be people that will not take advantage of it. There may be people that was raised in church. They may be people whose names are on a church roll somewhere that has never accepted Jesus Christ. And how terrible that is. But the Apostle Paul said, no. He said, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Meaning, I understand now what Jesus did. I understand the mission that he fulfilled. I understand what his amazing grace means to me. And I thought about when he made that statement, I am what I am, that also declares a repentive heart. You know, the best way to receive of Jesus is to be completely honest with him. How many knows that God knows our thoughts? He knows our hearts. It doesn't matter if we try to whitewash things in our life, he knows. The best thing to do is what mom and dad used to tell me. Just come clean. Just go ahead and tell me. You know, don't try to lie to me. Don't try to cover it up or hide it. You'll be in a lot more trouble unless you just go ahead and tell the truth. So then I'd tell the truth, and they'd give me a whooping. So I would think, well, maybe I've been better off. No, that's not true with the grace of God. Amen. You know, he chastises them that he loves. That's exactly right. And then he wraps his arm around us, and he loves us, and he appreciates us, and he thanks us. So I am what I am only by the grace of God. I am what I am. I'm always Eddie. I'm going to always be in this body, unfortunately, until Jesus comes and gives me a brand new one. But you know what? When I came to the altar, finally realized, just let it all out. Just tell everything. You ain't got to tell the pastor. You ain't got to tell the preacher. Just tell the Lord Jesus Christ. You ain't even got to speak it out vocally. Amen. But if you'll declare unto the Lord, Lord, I'm just, and that's what I said, I think this is one of the most repentive testimonies that the Apostle Paul had. Because even with all of his, I guess, popularity, with all of his ability to start churches, and you think about so many that he was responsible for. So many of the books of the New Testament, God used him mightily. And you know, actually, he wasn't even a Christian. He was anti-Christian. He was fighting against the Christians. You know, he thought that was heresy, and he thought all of that. But God struck him down and made a believer out of him and then turned him on the right road, and he was able to do all those things. But he never forgot his origin. He never forgot where he came from, and he never declared himself to be nothing more than flesh and a mortal man, that God just used him as a mouthpiece to speak to others. And there's no telling how many people were saved under his preaching then. Think about it. Still, the saved today under his words and under his writings and under the epistles today. You know, talking about the Roman road to salvation and the Ephesians and the 1st and 2nd Corinthians. There's so much written about the blood of Jesus Christ and about the receiving of his spirit and the blood washing away our sins. And so many people are still being saved today by the obedience of the Apostle Paul. So regardless of what you've done, regardless of what your past has, you and I will probably always remember that this side of heaven. But understand, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. It only is by the grace of God. And because it's not by my works. It's not by anything that I've done. It's not because I was the grandson of a preacher or the son of a mother and dad who was solid Christians and walked a good and precious life unto the Lord. I'm not putting them on a pedestal. They were just obedient unto the Lord. But all of that doesn't make me a Christian. Being sitting in a church doesn't make you a Christian. Amen. But if you realize what the Apostle Paul did, you know, these things I've done wrong, these things I'm heartfelt, sorrowful that I have done it, but I repent, and I know it's by the grace of God that I'm saved. I know it's by the grace of God that I have a home in heaven. I know it's by the grace of God, amen, that one of these days, all these problems and trials and tribulations and persecutions are going to be a thing of the past. Why? According to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. Not according to hearsay, not according to what some minister said, but according to the minister who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's right there, amen. And I'm so thankful that God has made it so easily accessible to us. And it's to everybody. What was it? Peter stood up and said, it's for you and your children and your children's children. And he didn't leave it there. He said, even as many as are far off. Finally, that included me. Amen, because I was not a child or children of a generation of that, but I was one that was afar off. So God's grace is sufficient even for those like me who were far off. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he was rose from the dead and he's alive and well today? God bless you. We love the Lord and we're thankful, amen, for the plan of salvation and for his amazing grace. Thank you for being with us tonight. It's so good to have you with us. It's just been a wonderful praise and worship tonight. So let's remember those who are still in need of prayer. Also, Sunday night, we know that we're having the Christmas program at 11 o'clock. But this Sunday night, we're going to have a candlelight service. And if you've never been part of a candlelight service, it's a very emotional and spiritual thing. So we'll be singing some Christmas carols and praying, and probably we'll read the the Christmas story out of Luke, and it's just a wonderful experience. So come and be with us if you possibly can this Sunday night at a regular time, 6 o'clock. If you would stand, this altar is open. If anyone is in need of prayer tonight, Lord, let us pray with you, for you. God would touch you and anoint you. He's a way maker. Amen.
Sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold. To trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a trust you and believe. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a trust you and believe. Something. it takes a mountain
to trust you and believe. Lord, I believe.
If you would, reach over and grab someone's hand tonight as we pray. Pray for our church, pray for our families, pray for those who are in need. Let's pray that we'll be able to trust God and believe. You know, if we're just able to do that, that will cure a multitude of things. Amen. Scripture says He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we come tonight with thankful hearts, God, for what You've already done. God, with an anticipation of faith of what You're going to do. Father, we're thankful for those who gathered here tonight. And I pray right now, God, as we join hands in unity, God, that we're going to trust You and believe. Father, so many times we trust ourselves, we trust this, we trust that. But help us to trust You and believe Your word. You've never failed us. You're not going to fail us now. You've always made a way, and You're going to continue to make a way. So let this congregation, as we leave tonight, be able to 100% trust You and believe You for all things. And we'll give You praise. We give You honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful evening. Praise God.